helping students and healthcare professionals not just survive, but thrive with a purpose. This is the CMDA Student Pulse Podcast.
Well, welcome to another episode of CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast. I'm Bill Reichert, National Director for Campus and Community Ministries here at CMDA. And my guest today is Bethany Taylor. Bethany, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the podcast today.
Well, before we dive into our conversation, let me introduce you to our listeners and those watching. Bethany is a fourth-year medical student who returned to school later in life after years devoted to raising her family. I think we'd like to touch on that early on. I'd like to hear that journey. As you've been engaging over the many years with both local and international missions, Bethany has worked with refugees in the U.S., advocated for public health in Ethiopian orphanages, founded a nonprofit supporting women and children facing domestic violence in Tanzania. Bethany's experience of global development and service continue to shape her heart for advocacy, mentorship, and faith-driven leadership in medicine. Now, Bethany's been actively involved in CMDA. You served president of your local campus chapter up there in Maine. Currently serve as a Northeast student representative, as well as helping to chair and facilitate our national community, student leadership community. You're a student representative for our Mentorship and Discipleship Commission, and you attended two CMDA national conventions and the International World Congress of CMDA in Tanzania in 2023. And we're going to focus a bunch on that subject during the course of our conversation. But again, Bethany, welcome, and I'm glad you're part of this discussion here today.
Thanks. I'm really excited to be here and just to share a bit of my story and talk about my time at the World Congress as well.
Yeah. Well, we need to hear about your journey into medicine. Having a non-traditional student as you are, what was the journey that brought you to go back to school to take on this Herculean endeavor to go through medical school and soon to be residency and beyond? Tell me how the Lord led you in that way.
Yeah, definitely. So my husband and I, we have five children that we've adopted from Ethiopia. And so I stayed home for most of their early years. They were between the ages of 1 and 14 when we adopted them, and now they're 16 to 28. But I stayed home, homeschooled them, was really involved in just kind of the life of our family and in our community. And as they got older, I was kind of looking at this journey of going back to school. Both my husband and I had been involved in missions, kind of pre-children, and we just kind of started thinking about what the next step was for me. And I said, well, I'd really like to go back and finish a college degree. I'm thinking maybe medicine, maybe public health. And so I started taking classes to basically get a bachelor's in pre-med or medical biology. So I finished that in 2017, but move brought our family from Maine to Washington, D.C. At that time. And I was just kind of looking at, okay, God, maybe I'd taken my MCAT already and I was ready to apply to school, but we were going to be specifically in the D.C. area. Didn't know how long. And so I applied and to Georgetown and was able to complete a master's in global health. And that really aligned kind of with what my husband and I felt the Lord leading us to in missions, but in a little more organized way and being able to kind of have something sustainable. During that time, I spent actually 3 months in Tanzania doing a research project on prevention of mother-to-child transmission of HIV. And it was during that time that I was really praying and seeking the Lord, okay, is this what you have for me, or am I still supposed to apply to medical school? And I think while I was there, the Lord just kept speaking to my heart, like, you're supposed to be involved more deeply with these people's lives, and not just from the kind of upstream advocacy public health space, but also specifically in their lives. And so I came back and was prepared to apply to medical school, and COVID hit. And it was actually a blessing in disguise, because my husband's job just went virtual, and it really gave us freedom to move wherever. And I ended up applying and being accepted back into my home state school at the University of New England College of Osteopathic Medicine. And so it's been quite the journey, but also just a faith-filled one to really trust God through that process. When I started back in 2017, went back to school in 2015, I thought, oh, 2 years of pre-med, 4 years of medicine, I'll be done. And here we are 10 years later, and you never know exactly what direction the Lord will take you. But it's good to trust Him and see what He'll do along the way.
Oh, yeah. It's an exciting journey when you can see the ways that God directs and guides. And I think it's true for, I think, all of us, that we are always surprised by how the Lord guides and directs and where He takes us. But and I know the journey's not over. You've got plenty of things ahead of you still.
Yeah.
And so let me set this up and introduce the audience, if they don't know, about, you know, kind of the scope and scale of CMDA, because, you know, many of our listeners and those watching are going to understand CMDA because they're involved in a local chapter like you were. I mean, at your medical school up there in New England. And so they're going to think CMDA is kind of that. They may then get a bigger vision and understand, well, wait a minute, this is a national network and organization, which, again, you've had some experience understanding that through our national convention, pulling together over 1,000 healthcare professionals all across the U.S. And that's exciting when you realize you're not alone, that this is bigger than you ever could have imagined. But then it even gets bigger than that. There is a network of Christian healthcare professionals all throughout the world and countries all across the globe. And that's what you got to experience a couple of years ago in Tanzania. It's called the International CMDA World Congress. It's a quadrennial conference for every 4 years. How did you discover this? What was the draw to, I mean, you're in Maine, or at least somewhere along the East Coast. How do you get to Tanzania, and how do you discover this ICMDA World Congress?
Yeah, well, so I'll start by just saying I didn't even know about CMDA coming into school. So when I came to school, I was looking for a Christian student group and found CMDA. And then through that found, oh, wait, this isn't just a Christian student group on my campus. Mm-hmm. This is actually a huge organization. So I, you know, found out there was a national conference and went to my first one was in Asheville, North Carolina, a couple years ago. And, but I guess it was actually before that conference that I was in my local chapter. And during my first couple years of medical school, I was returning to Tanzania in my summer months that I had off to work with a like a little mission clinic that I had gotten in contact with when I was there in 2019 doing my research. And so I went one summer, spent like 3 weeks volunteering at that clinic, was preparing to go back the very next summer, and then started hearing, oh, wait, the CMDA International Conference is in Tanzania. And I was like, wait a minute, is this like where it normally is?
It's like it moves around. It moves around.
Yeah. It's in a different place every year. And I was like, okay, wait, I'm actually planning to be there when this is happening. And I was able to invite my dad, who is now a retired orthodontist. So he went over with me. We spent a few days with the clinic and then spent the rest of our time at the ICMDA World Congress meeting.
The timing couldn't have been more providential, because Well, first of all, it's every 4 years, so then it had to be on that right year. It had to be in the right part of the world. And just everything had to align. So, okay, so now you're ready.
It was actually like a kilometer the away from the clinic that I was working in. Wow. So it was the clinic staff drove my dad and I back and forth. We stayed at the clinic and we were so close. I knew the city already in Arusha, Tanzania. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the Lord just really kind of brought all these things together.
Stay tuned for more of this story. The Student Pulse podcast returns in just a moment.
Are you ready for the 2026 CMDA National Convention in Loveland, Colorado? Join us April 21st through the 23rd and worship with our returning guests, Shine. Spend quality time fellowshipping with like-minded Christian healthcare professionals from all over the world. Hear invaluable discussions from plenary speakers and breakouts on a huge number of topics facing healthcare today. Take time in the beautiful surroundings of the Rocky Mountains for personal and spiritual refreshment, and find encouragement for the renewing of your faith. If you haven't registered, now is your last chance to get the best price of the year. Early bird registration prices expire January 19th. Register today at natcon.cmda.org.
So there's about a 1,000 people, maybe, would you say? Is that a rough, close enough estimate to the amount of individuals that attended the Congress in Tanzania?
It might have been a few more than that. Okay. I don't recall the exact number, but over 1,000. Yeah.
Right. I guess to the point I'm making it's a big event with a lot of individuals. And I wanted to make that point because I also want to say, in contrast, we believe you're the only American student that was attending.
Which I was kind of surprised, because I was kind of new. I was like a couple years into med school, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go. And then I find there's this whole student track, and there are, you know, 10 to 15 to 20 students coming from different countries all over the world.
Right.
To Tanzania. And so I was like, okay, wait, where's the US students? Where's the Canadian students? Where are even the American doctors that are are here? And so what I realized pretty quickly was that, well, there weren't any US students. I don't believe there were any Canadian students either. And then there was just a handful of people from the US there.
Yeah. Well, we're going to come back to that point, because we're hoping and trusting that does not remain the same as this new, next World Congress is going to be coming online here next year. But we'll come back to that point. So you do realize, okay, this you're getting a unique experience. Many of your fellow American students are not, they're not there. They're not experiencing this. So what was it that you, maybe one or two things, takeaways, things that God really did in and through that conference as you made yourself available, you were there. How did it impact your life, your faith, your vision of the world, your view of God?
Yeah, that's really a loaded question. But I think one of the first things that really impacted me was, you know, you step into this huge auditorium and you see people from, there was well over 100 countries actually represented at the conference. And you see everybody worshiping all together. And then they had a student track, so I was joining that, and you start talking to medical students from, you know, different countries, and you realize, like, hey, we all kind of have some of the same things that we're up against, that we're facing, that are challenging our faith, whether we are in medical school in Africa, Asia, Europe, or there was a handful of people from South America, Central America. We all have very common challenges. We all have, a faith that we're trying to live out in medicine and what God's called us to do. And it was impactful to hear from some students who maybe had some more freedom to pray with patients, to share the gospel with patients, or, have an accepting environment. But then there were also students there where, it was illegal to share the gospel. And there were a handful of sessions that were really focused on medical missions, and how that can open doors for students, for physicians to travel to different places and be able to practice medicine in places that maybe a missionary just can't go.
Right. Yeah. In those creative access countries and places around the globe. Absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The content, the language was English, right? That was the
language.
Yeah. So you had access to everything. Yeah.
Yep. And what was really interesting, and I think is amazing that ICMDA does, is so the conference is all in English, but they have headsets with like translators for the whole thing. So people who didn't speak English could have all of the main sessions translated for them, which is, made it accessible to everyone.
That's great. I would have to think too, one of the beauties of being at a part of something like that is to just get a picture of the throne room, in Revelation, just the nations coming together to worship and glorify God. I imagine those times of worship, the singing, that is, that time must have been really precious and sweet.
Absolutely. I'll share a couple, times that I think I was so overwhelmed. I'll try not to cry. But one, they had a Tanzanian worship team. And so I don't, if anybody has ever been pretty much anywhere other than the United States, worship tends to be a little more whole body experience.
You're talking to a Presbyterian here, so it's right. Hands down here.
And so they had choreographed dances for some of their songs, and people were just coming down, but they also they incorporated songs from other languages, and had times when different worship teams were leading a song in their language. And then there was one evening where they had, it was like a ceremony of flags. So all of the flags were brought around, but also every country could, it was kind of like a talent show, what you would call it, but people from each country kind of performed something that represented their country, whether it be a song, a dance, a presentation. And just to kind of see all of that was incredible. But I'll say probably the single most impactful thing of the experience was the Sunday morning. They served communion, and you just see all of the nations coming down to receive communion together, and thousands of people from all over the world, all different nations, all different languages. And I just stood there in awe that I got to be there and be a part of that. And if you just kind of imagine what that could even be like, because so often we get preoccupied and consumed with life right where we are, because it is, it can be overwhelming. But when you sit in an auditorium with over 1,000 people who are all worshiping God, and celebrating communion together. There's just nothing quite as impactful as that.
Wow. Were there any enduring relationships, connections, or networks, Bethany? This was a moment in time, but walking away from the conference to this day, is there something that has had an enduring impact in either in relationships with others or things that you pulled away that you still hold on tightly today that really keep you moving forward, pressing forward into this world of healthcare as a Christ follower?
There's not a single person or something that I would still be in conversation with, but similar to how at our national conferences we have a WhatsApp student group.
Right.
There was that created for the students there, and for probably a full year after, people would put prayer requests in to that group or send encouraging verses. And so it was this extension of a connection in as best a way as we could to stay connected with students from all over. And so that was one way, but maybe just another lasting impact was just how important I think it is for us as Christian healthcare workers to understand what other healthcare workers are facing. And so it's something that for me keeps me wanting to, stay involved in medical missions and stay connected to those in healthcare and some other places around the world.
Stay tuned for more of this story. The Student Pulse podcast returns in just a moment.
If you, as a health practitioner, have seen four patients, probably one of them, statistically, is experiencing chronic pain. That's a big problem. When emotions are involved, it becomes much harder for CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, to impact pain. They're more than that. People are more than just their physical selves. They are emotional selves also. And we are able to address that as Christians, and we need to.
Well, the Lord in his kindness and providence teed up this opportunity. It couldn't have been any better than that.
Yeah, but, exactly.
But I think we all would agree, though, that as we look forward to this next World Congress in Korea, again, we'll talk more details in just a minute, we can anticipate perhaps there'll be some barriers, some objections, some challenges. Would you mind speaking into that a little bit, maybe talking through anticipating what those would be, but then also how might a student or a resident listening right now be able to potentially overcome some of those?
Yeah. So I think probably the biggest barrier is finances, some, but then also I would think, if you haven't done much international travel and you're just kind of thinking, how do I get there myself? The website itself gives lots of great information about where to stay, transportation, and all those things. And while I had that set up for me and I knew where this conference was taking place, I think that can be a little bit of a challenge or a fear that students or residents might face, but then just financially too, you're thinking about the cost of the conference, how to get there, an international flight. And that was something that also the Lord really graciously helped me. I saved a little bit for my entrance fee, but mm-hmm. then had some support from my church and from my family to help cover the costs of mm-hmm. my flights there. And I was able, for me, I was able to stay in the apartment at the clinic for free mm-hmm. because of where it was. But yeah.
Well, we would, agree that the money is one of the primary challenges. It is for the national convention, even here within the States.
Yeah.
And yep. I think you know firsthand that there are many, many generous donors that have provided scholarship and underwriting. And
yeah.
I would let anybody know that's listening or watching that there is we're setting aside resources for this. Now, it's never
awesome.
a full ride, but it is an opportunity to really take a portion of those out-of-pocket costs in a way that we think is, helpful in allowing a student to be able to go and not be so burdensome that they just can't go because of the cost. The nice thing is now in 2026 is the next World Congress. Let me just read off some details. June 30th to July 5th, 2026. Now, that includes, you mentioned this too, there's a pre-conference for students. So there's a conference just dedicated for students alone, which is really cool. And And I know that those dates, whether or not those dates work for anybody, but, one could shave off the pre-conference if they had to. There's always, but then again, you're paying for a plane ticket. You might as well take advantage of everything you can.
Might as well stay a week,
You might as well, if you can, Lord willing. But so June 30th through July 5th, this is all, again, you said on the site, which we're going to put in the show notes, icmda.net, and details are all there. Now, it's going to be in South Korea. It's going to be at a place called Jeju Island.
Yeah.
And this is a really nice place.
been looking.
You've seen the pictures.
It does. It looks incredible.
And there are direct flights from the West Coast. So, wherever you're in the States, you may need to get to a place like San Francisco or L.A. But once you're there, there are direct flights from the West Coast to Jeju Island, and there's no visas required. So it's easily accessible.
Easy
the airport goes right to Jeju. You don't have to go to Seoul or anyplace else and try to get to the place. So you're flying right into where the World Congress is. So affordability is kind of going to be helpful here because hopefully the transportation costs won't be as big. I think Africa would probably have been more expensive. This is going to be, I trust, less so, and it'd be a little bit more convenient. So, especially if you live on the West Coast, but even so. And so we've got some information that we're going to, again, put in the show notes. There's the website. We're here to help. If somebody wants to go, we want to make sure that they can go. And I'm about to have a call with one of my area directors who's excited. He wants to go, and he's thinking, how many students can I take with me? So I'm hoping, I'm praying that we can 10X. Now, 10X from the last Congress is 10.
10, yeah.
10 to 20, maybe. 20 would blow the doors off. I just am trusting the Lord that more individuals, particularly students, although you mentioned even healthcare professionals and graduate docs as well, would come, that they would come and experience this because it really gives a kingdom vision of what God's doing around the world and how we're a part of that. That sometimes it's easy to just think about medicine as purely just the world we live in. It's, very parochial view, just these tight boundaries, but to understand that God is at work globally, and he's doing exciting things in and through Christ followers and through his church all across the world in and through healthcare. So this would be a great opportunity for individuals to take advantage of, because it's quadrennial. It won't come around for another 4 years.
Another 4 years. Yep. Now's the time.
Anything, as we kind of close our time, Bethany, anything you'd like to say to those considering going, an encouragement?
Go do it.
I'll
follow that up with I'm in the process of applications, residency, and one of the things that I highlighted was my life has been a series of saying yes, right? Mm-hmm. And there's always this hesitancy when we think about doing something new or stepping out from kind of what's safe. But I think some of God's greatest adventures in our lives come when we are willing to say yes, like, yes. Okay, I'll step out. I'll take that step of faith. I don't know how it's all going to work. I don't,
right.
You know, all of us are medical professionals. We're pretty type A plan from point one to point two to point three. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just have to step out of that and allow God to fill in the details. But I'll say I've always found him faithful when you're willing to say yes.
That puts a punctuation right at the end of this conversation. That is the best way to end, and so true, Bethany. I've seen it true in my life as well. So join us, say yes. We hope you will be with us coming up. And again, reach out to myself. Bethany, if anybody wants to reach out to you, can we put your email in the show notes?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
They may want to do that as well. And hope to see you in Korea. Thank you, Bethany, for just being able to share your journey, what God did in the World Congress and how you found yourself there. And I trust your testimony and your story is an encouragement to those listening. And just thank you for your leadership in the student leadership team and the ways that God is working into your life. And I know that God has incredible opportunities for you in the future, especially the right place that you're going to be as you think about residency, which, again, is just another step in this journey of faith.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. CMDA Student Pulse Podcast is a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the organization. CMDA is nonpartisan and does not endorse candidates or political parties for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members.